Well, today is a very interesting question. All right, Pat asked me this question, and I did not have an answer. I said, oh, I'm going to look at that one. All right, and it's a very interesting question. And I think it's because, not because of what her asked the question, but in the Christian world, they have a thing in their mind, right or wrong. Okay, there are only two things that we have to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Right? That's what it is. Okay? We're going to three areas in the New Testament. And we're going to talk about them a little bit today. Because it's going to lead to something I hope that we may be able to see and understand. What the Messiah really was talking about. That's what's important, right? All right, so we're going to give three different situations. There's one in the book of Matthew, one in the book of Mark, and then one in the book of Luke. When you read these three, you will notice, I hope you will notice, they are three different distinct situations where the same kind of question was asked. All right, Matthew. In chapter 22, I'm sorry, Matthew 22, we begin at verse 35. All right, Matthew, chapter 22, 35. What I'm going to try to do is I'm going to introduce these three, but as time goes by, I'm going to rapidly go through many scriptures, so you may just need to take notes, okay, or where you're at. I will tell you where I want you to go in certain locations. And it says here, when one of them, a lawyer, asked, testing him, and saying, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these, the two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Mark, chapter 12. Mark, chapter 12. Beginning in verse 28. Now remember, Matthew was a lawyer. Now here in Mark, it's not a lawyer, it's a scribe. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, you have to read the previous part, I'm not going to go there, perceiving that he, that is Yahshua, had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him and said, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" Of course, that's not technically what it says there, but, you know, we always play words. "This is the first and great commandment. The second is like this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment." Now, so we have two different people asking him the same question, but he gave different answers. Now let's go on to the last one. It's the book of Luke, the 10th chapter. And once again, it's a lawyer, but not the lawyer we see in Matthew. This lawyer had a different approach. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. "Behold, a certain lawyer..." Now, remember, this says a certain lawyer, not a lawyer. "A certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said," Yeshua said to him, "'What is written in the law? What is your reading? How do you read it?'" Well, now, instead of Jesus saying it, the lawyer had said, okay? He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself." And then Yahshua said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to be justified himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And we have this prodigal, the who is your neighbor parable. Okay, it's called the Good Samaritan parable. We're not going to go through that, but you see, there's three different people asking him. And he gave different kind of answers, didn't he? How can he give the same answer to all of them? Well, when you look at this thing, he is really addressing the person who's asking the question, because one of them said, "You speak well." And you keep on reading in Matthew. He says, "You have spoken well. It is greater than all." So that was not a negative statement. But now we're going to go to Matthew. Back to Matthew, because this is where the question comes in. Unusual response. He did not say that to anybody else. The question is this. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What do you think that meant? Why was he telling this particular lawyer? Why did he answer him that way, but didn't answer the other two that way? What was he talking about? What is it you think what it means? Open discussion? Yes, Daniel.
Personally, how I would think is that, if you don't love your God with all these features and your neighbors as yourself, whatever else you do is worthless.
Okay.
Because if they all hang on it, then you have to at least accomplish those. But everything else, if you just do anything else and not that, then you haven't done anything.
Her question was, what does it mean, hang? That was the question. What does it mean, hang? All right, what does it mean to hang? Yes?
Well, the word in Greek means to suspend. So it's actually like these two, love your neighbor, love God and love your neighbor, are like something that everything else hangs on.
Only two things he listed to hang on it. What are the two things he listed that hang on it?
The law
and the prophets, plurality. How is that? Why did he say it this way? What was his point? What was he telling this lawyer? That's an unusual statement. We have in our mind, and it's true, we think in our mind that, everything really comes from and depends upon loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, with all your might, and loving your neighbor as yourself. But why is the law hung on that law? Okay, why is the prophets hung on the law? Why is it hung on those two? So what was he saying? Now we'll talk about suspension. We'll go there. That's a very important word to know about suspension. It is something that's dangling. Yes?
The question is, the man that he said this to, was he the scribe?
No, the lawyer. This is Matthew's and lawyer.
Okay, this is another lawyer. One said a certain lawyer, and this one is...
Yeah, did you notice each one, he got a different answer? He gave a different answer?
Well, he's looking at that person's...
That
heart.
Person. Now, this particular lawyer was testing him out. All right. Now, wait a second. Okay, what's the big issue here? What does it mean to hang? Let's go through some words here. We understand what hang means. Hang, basically in Greek, there's two words for hang. One of them is when Judas Iscariot, and he hung himself. But that Greek word doesn't mean like we think it means. It means one who has strangled himself by hanging. Different Greek word. So I want you to know that part. The Hebrew, by the way, is interchangeable to this thing, but we're going to get into Hebrew a little later. But we've got to go on to the Greek, because the Greek is where it comes from. And most people have an idea of what it may mean. Now, in Matthew 22, verse 40, to get us in the Greek, basically, the other one says on, or it also can be translated as in. In these two commandments, the whole law and the whole prophets hang. Basically, it's what it says in Greek. Now, does that mean that the law, what we call the Torah, or the prophets, what we call the prophets, are dependent upon those two commandments?
Yeah.
Huh.
Fulfillment of them.
We're going to find out, aren't we? I hope we may be able to read something. Because there was something very fascinating. When you study any word, and this word hang, how many times does it show up? Well, we're going to go through some of those things so you understand. Matthew 18, verse 6. Here's what Jesus is saying. Whosoever curses one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him that a millstone be dangled or hung around his neck and he be drowned in the depth of the sea. Oh, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Wow. So we have this word hang associated with what? Death. Let's go on to the next one. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Very important to listen to what's being said here because I want to show you something or reveal something to you. And it says, beginning 35, 39, rather, then one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed him, Yeshua, if thou be the Messiah, the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? All right, now listen to what he also had to say. Very fascinating. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing. What was that word? Amiss. Amiss. Didn't even make a single mistake. He didn't err. He didn't miss the mark. He didn't do anything. You know, a very powerful statement this the guy is saying. But now we know that Jesus was hung. Right? The two criminals were hung. What happened to them? They died. Keep this part in mind in Greek. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. This is a very important part. This is the name of an individual person. And I want you to keep track of what the name is. Because when the people heard him, they rejected him. All right? And it's in Acts chapter 5. We'll begin at verse 30. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 30. And it says, for God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on the tree. So we know that hanging is a death sentence, right? And he himself, God exalted with his right hand, the prince and savior, for to give reputation to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Then they heard it, they were cut. So it says to the heart. Forget about cutting the heart. They weren't painful. They weren't in sorrow. They weren't in tears. They were just downright going to kill him. Says they were took to slay him. Now listen to the man. Then stood there one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Do you know what his name means? Very fascinating. And he stood up. And he said something they didn't pay attention to. His name will tell you what kind of a person he really was. All right? It means my recompensor is God. My recompensor is God. Not my compensor, but he recompenses. What does that mean? One who gives compensation and makes amends for an injury or a loss. That's what the man's name means. And that's why he stood up. Of course, they didn't listen to him, did they? They didn't care what that man said. They just ignored him completely. So we have this kind of idea. Now, in Acts 28, verse 4, this had to do when Paul was bitten by a snake. Remember that? That was very fascinating here. Now, we're talking about hanging. And listen, it says, and when the natives saw the creatures, verse 4, hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. So this, thinking in the Greek, I'm sorry, time when it was written, the hanging isn't like hanging up your coat, putting your hat up on the rack. Has nothing to do about hanging hanging the bowl into, I mean, a cup inside of a bowl. It has nothing to do with it. That word is associated with something else. Constantly. Always. They assume something. Death was going to come. All right, so keep this part in mind. And we'll get into, I'll get to you here later.
But in his verse, of course, they were all amazed that he didn't die. Luke has used a very interesting play on words here, which I do not want to talk about today. Okay, now we lead to one other place. I do not normally, and I'll be honest with all of you today, I do not normally go to the book of Galatians. The reason why I don't go to the book of Galatians is because everybody disagrees with what I see, including my wife. So I'm not going to get into the book of Galatians. I'm only going to get into what he said about hanging. All right, then we'll go into the Torah. We'll go into Hebrew. Then we'll understand a little bit what Jesus said. Everything hangs. Only two things hang. What the law says and what the prophets say. We've got to find out what it is. Aren't we? Let's go on. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read a couple of different translations here for just a minute. I'm going to move ahead here. I'm going to go to verse 13 first. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And he says, we'll read it for one how one has been translated. You probably have it in yours. Christ, or the Messiah, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. Oh, here's this hanging again. How do you get hung? You are cursed to get hung. Oh, let's go back to Matthew. No, we don't go back to Matthew. Keep back in Matthew 22, verse 40, when he says, oh, guess what? All of the law and all of the prophets hang upon these two commandments. Well, let's keep on going. Hope we're learning something different today than we've ever learned before. Now, another translation has it. It's a very interesting way. The latter part of that verse says, curse on everyone who is hung on a tree. Another way of translating that word. Let's go back up now to verse 8. Okay. You see what's happened in the Christian world? Sorry if I offend some of you here today. In the Christian world, they believe the curse is the law. Oh, no. There is a curse of the law. That's different. We need to know there's a difference between the law and the curse of the law. The curse of the law is death. Keep that in mind. It is not life. It is death. We're going to go through a couple of examples here in the Torah in a minute. But right now, chapter 3, verse 8. It's the scripture, by the way, every time it says scripture, by the way, in Greek, always refers to the written, never to the oral, never to the oral, never to stay with what someone made, always to what is written. Foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preaching the gospel to Abraham, saying, Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, preaching the gospel to Abraham. Now remember, just going through this word about the gospel, the word, is way back there in the book of Wind. We'll go back there and find out exactly what it says. We need to know what it was said. The gospel was preached to Abraham. Oh, what was it preached to him? Well, we'll find out. Because there's a statement, there's two statements, very much so, in one verse, which gave Abraham hope. All right, we'll get there in a minute. Verse 10 here. Cursed is everyone, have we thought? Cursed is it, because it's written in the law, in the Torah,
under the curse, it is written, the cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the Torah or the law to do them. Wow. Pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Cursed means to what? Be blessed? No. Death sentence. It's going to be a death sentence. All right, let's continue on here, which seems really strange. But he says, no one can be justified by law. We'll get there in a minute. But they shall be, but the just shall live by law. Then verse 12 really throws you off. What does verse 12 say?
The law is not of faith.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I verse 12? I meant verse 12.
Yeah.
Continue on.
But the man that doeth them shall live in them.
Okay. How can a law, the Torah, be a curse at the same time you got to live by it? I want to clarify something about the word Torah. All right. I never have used and never will use Yahshua is the Torah. Torah is Yahshua. I would say this much. Yahshua is within the Torah. And Yahshua uses the complete Torah, which consists of two main things. What does it consist of? What is the word teaching? It means teaching, right? So inside of this Torah, there are an awful lot of things written. From Genesis to Deuteronomy, right? And there are blessings in there. There's stories in there. It has nothing to do with anything except examples. How someone lived, how someone died, so we can learn from it. And there's also, in the book of Deuteronomy, the whole chapter, full of curses. Now we'll find out who gives the curse. All right, we'll find out who gives the curse. Keep this in mind. Remember, what is hanging on the... What's hanging on the... Love the Lord thy God with all the heart and the neighbor himself. The law and the prophets. Two things. Not one. Two things. There's two things that are common within the law and within the prophet. What is it? If you don't do it, you're cursed. You are going to be, in all language we could, you're going to be damned. That's what it says. What prophet is there that gives you such wonderful, wonderful news, but he doesn't? He gives to this, Israel, you do this, negative things, negative, horrible things, bad things, and guess what? God says, I'm going to curse you. And what does the law say? Well, if you don't follow it, guess what? You are, what does it say now here? What's it say here now? You will be cursed if you do not do everything that's written within the law. That puts us in real bad shape, doesn't it? Pretty bad shape, doesn't it? Now, the gospel was preached to Abram. We'll get there in a minute. All right? You don't have a term here because I'm going to read it right off. Deuteronomy 27. Cursed is the one who does not conform to all the laws, the words of the law. Another translation says, cursed is the one who does not establish the words of this law to do them. So we know the Apostle Paul often says in the book of Romans, we are to what? Establish the law, right? How do you establish the law when you are cursed? How? How do you establish it when you are cursed? You cannot. You cannot turn around and start obeying the law to avoid the death sentence. If you murdered somebody, you can't turn around and be the most wonderful person on the face of the earth, do everything right, and avoid the death sentence. Right?
Consequences.
The once you have broken the law, a curse comes upon you. Right? You can't get out of it. Now, how did you get out of it in your world? Only when the Yeshua took the curse upon himself, then and only then are you free from the curse of the law. Yes.
Okay, I was rescued that I wasn't killed by the law, but I still had to pay penalties for what I did.
Okay, I understand that, but you didn't have to pay the death penalty. Someone else paid the death penalty for you. And that person was cursed. He was damned. He was considered the worst thing there ever was. Because he took it on all. He didn't just take on a couple of little minor sins. He took it all on, no matter how gross it was, or how kind of, you know, I didn't make a mistake kind of was. He took it all on. Day of Atonement. That explains that to us, but we'll go there today. Okay, now, let's continue on here. You don't have to turn here to Leviticus, the 18th chapter. If a man does them, he shall live by them. This is the commandment. Okay, you're not going to live by them. Okay, how do you live by them when you already are under the death sentence? Well, you can't. It takes a different kind of course. Now, back to Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. Because, see, the law and the prophets are spoken quite often by the Messiah. An awful lot by the Messiah. Caught quite a bit about him. We won't deny that part. But we're going to go here, chapter 5. We all know what it says. We know by heart, those facing the Messianic movement know by heart. All right? And he says, do not think, verse 17, I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. Well, we got that. Okay, he's not going to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to... Okay, I want you to keep in mind, he came to fulfill what the curse of the law required and what the prophets required. He came to fulfill the curse. You understand what I'm saying right now? He is not just talking about, oh, I'm going to bring about prophecy. I'm going to institute the law. I'm going to hit with a rod of iron. He is going to eliminate that which is cursed upon us by taking it himself. Now, another translation here. I want you to continue on going for a moment. Another one is, okay, verse 18. He says, for surely I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will be by no means taken, be removed or passed from the law until it's all fulfilled. Something has to come to pass. What is it in the, quote, Torah that must come to pass? The curse. And we'll find out who is to do the curse. All right. Another translation, I kind of like it, verse 18. For I say unto you, until the heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall be passed away to the law, until all things be accomplished. Let me ask you a question. Has the curse been accomplished?
Yes.
No. The world is still cursed. You cannot say the world is free from the curse. They're not. Israel's not free from the curse. We, if we did not or do not and did not want to have the curse removed, guess what? We're still under the law. You're under the curse of the law. You understand what I'm saying so far? Yes.
Then the believer is. I mean, when Yeshua died, he said, it is finished, it is accomplished.
Correct, yeah. I'm just talking now. He has come to save all the world.
But for the believer, though,
correct.
It is accomplished.
Right. Now let's go back here now. It means that something is hanging on the two commandments. Something about the laws depended upon something else. How do you reach? Let's ask you a question. Okay. If I got it here. Okay. Do we know how we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, with all our might, with all our being? Do we know how to love our neighbor as ourselves? Do we know what that means? Well, you know what's written, don't you?
We don't love them the way we love. We must love the way the Creator of heaven and earth so said to do so. All right? And we, in this room, we walk across sometimes people we really cannot stomach. That's the truth. We cannot stomach them. Now, wow, am I hanging from something? What are you hanging from? Let me ask you some more questions. It's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Think about it. And it says now, do we really know how to do this? The man who does them shall live by them. Oh. Do you know how to live by them? Do you know how? Oh, yeah, of course I do. Just ask me. All right, yeah. Well, you can't live by them until the curse is removed, both from within the law and from what the prophets have said. Prophets give you a lot of bad news. Book of Revelation, by the way, is full of curses from the beginning to the end. Well, except the last chapter. There's a blessing back there in the last chapter. All right? Now, so he's not saying us to break the law. He says we are to live within the law and establish that in our lives, establish it in our being. And the two commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your brain, with all your might, everything about you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you know, we can, kind of justify that we do love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our brain. But the neighbor's a little bit tough. Honestly, it is kind of being downright tough, especially if it's nasty, filthy mouth, obnoxious human being. Like, I'm sorry, know your hearts, like the President of the United States. You who think that way? Wow! Is there a justification? No, there isn't. How about the former President of the United States? There's no justification. How do you love them with all your heart? How do you love the neighbor as yourself? Pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Very powerful. Now, I'll tell you, this is a hard way of life. Walking this way is not easy, and Messiah so said so, right? We'll get to that part too, the last part of my sermon. Trying to live right here at 2:30. What I'm trying to do is to give Daniel as much time as possible. So I'm running it through real quickly. Backtrack here now. Genesis, I want you to go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. We had this song we sang, right? Well, the last song we had was not the one of those, but the Abram's blessing. You're going to learn something today. I hope you hear. Now, I didn't get a chance to go through an awful lot of detail because what I'm trying to do is move as fast as I can in Genesis at a rapid pace, even though sometimes you may think I'm taking forever. There's something that was said here. Genesis chapter 12. And remember, it said, Apostle Paul said, the gospel was preached to Abram. All right, now, let's go there. Now the Lord, or Yahweh, said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land which I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Sounds cool, doesn't it? Well, I got to know what that means, right? Well, have to be careful. That's a fascinating statement. Let me tell you what it says in Hebrew. We'll translate this way. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Verse 3, again, another translation, which is closer. I will bless those
blessing thee, and him who is esteeming thee, disesteeming thee, taking you lightly, I will curse. Wow. Who is to do the first curse? Sometimes we don't believe that God can actually do something evil. You know what? Do you know what a curse means in Hebrew? You ever know what it means in Hebrew? Very fascinating definition. It's to execrate. That is to detest, to consider loathsome, to declare loathsome, to cause unhappiness. That's a curse from the creator of heaven and earth to anybody who looks at Abram and considers him not that important a person. It disesteems him. Under your translation, it says curse, or curseth thee. It's more closer to disesteems you. We'll go another place in the Bible where it's used also, so you'll understand. But I want you to understand the little thing about cursing. Now, I want to say one more thing before we continue. What does verse 3 say? In your translation? Okay. Let me ask you, if you were Abram, and there you are, okay, you're going to curse those who don't consider me of much value. Let me ask you a question. What if God said that to you? What would you think? What would go through your mind? Wow, right? What would you think?
Well, I've actually had that verse, those verses prayed over me, and I consider it protection.
Protection, okay. Hmm. Yes.
Actually, I when I think that even just taking something that I've done or something I've thought of from somebody else taking me lightly, you know, that even that brought a curse on someone, it makes me want to pray for my enemies or for anyone that takes me lightly, even that they might change their way.
Now, remember this disesteem or to esteem or not esteem? What did the Apostle Paul say that we must do to one another?
Esteem each other higher.
Ah! He take it right out of it. Esteem one another greater than you. Don't disesteem them. Don't lower them beneath you. The minute you lower them beneath you, guess what? You have something called, the curse of the law on you. Because the eternal creator said he's going to do that to you or to anybody. Okay, let's get to the point. In Deuteronomy, verse 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. And I'm going to read a different translation here. His corpse does not remain on the tree, for thou dost not certainly bury him by day. For the thing lightly esteemed of God is a hanged one. See, in Hebrew, the word hanging is not a nice word. It's not where you hang your coat, because it doesn't have that word there for hanging your coat or hanging your clothes in the closet. It's a different kind of word.
Greek word. Wasn't that the original?
Was
the Greek word hang? Remember?
Yeah, it has a cursing thing and not a blessing thing. All right, now we have to go back into this thing of the what does it mean when he said to the lawyer? How do you reach the level to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might? That you will not hang as the law tells you to be hung, as a prophet tells you to be hung. How do you get out of that? All right? There's nothing you can do about it, is it? Nothing you can do about it. And don't lightly esteem anything. And the prophets, I'm not going to read them all off. I'm going to read pop off a few of them for you so you know the prophets say the very same thing. Jeremiah chapter 11, and it says there, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant. In 17th chapter, verse 5, cursed is the man who trusts in a man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Jeremiah 48, cursed is the man who does the work of the Lord deceitfully and cursed he is who keeps back his hand from the sword. In other words, if you're supposed to execute somebody and you decide not to, you're under a curse. All right, that's all it said about Malachi. Chapter 2, he says, see now, chapter 2, verse 1, I will send a curse upon you and will curse your blessings. Curse your blessings. Yes, I will curse them already because you have done this in your heart. Malachi 3, verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me and this whole nation. In Zechariah, chapter 5, verse 3, this is the curse or oath that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Now, I'm going to have to read back this thing. Go back to verse 1 of Zechariah chapter 1. Go back to Zechariah chapter 1. Very interesting thing. You remember in the story or the scene that John saw in the book of Revelations? Something was handed to the Lamb. And then we have curse, 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 curse. On and on and on and on. God swore an oath. And this is what he swore. When I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll, I said to him, what do you see? And I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, its width is 10. And he said to me, this is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Zechariah chapter 5.
He said chapter 1.
Okay. And verse 4, he says, I will send out, says the Lord of hosts, I will enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. I shall remain in the midst of the house and consume it and its timber and its stones. Everything disappears. Cease to exist. All right. Kind of interesting now. All right. So we have all those things. Don't want to go through all that stuff all over again. But let's go back to Matthew chapter 22, verse 40. Now, once again, the law and the prophets are not dependent upon, or are they dependent upon, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all the strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Does it or does it not?
They are dependent.
Right. If you're not there, beneath is death. You want to cut the rope? You don't want to be hung? Want to curse? That's what's required. And you and I cannot accomplish that of and by ourselves. Now, we are required by God and by Yeshua to do something. What are we supposed to do? What did Abraham do?
He believed.
Now, remember there in Genesis? Fourth chapter, the last part of that verse. And in you, all the world will be blessed. That's the gospel. First cursed. Now I'm going to bless them. How can he do that when he's cursing them? Well, Abraham, Yeshua said, he was delighted to see my day. He knew what was going to be required. He knew that one of his was going to die to remove the curse that God just put upon him. Because the world does curse Abraham. The world does curse Abraham. They curse the seeds of Abraham. They curse the children of Abraham. And I tell you, once you do that, God puts the curse upon you. I hope it's been lifted. All right, then we can learn to live within it and live a part of it. He says, two commandments, but are they? What were they there for? Why does Joshua say that? He said, I see these two commandments will override the curse of the whole law and the complete prophets. I cannot do that unless the curse is removed from me. I have to have what's called faith. There's justification through the law, or is faith justified by the law, and is faith justified through the law? Both avenues. You have one group of people who've gone through the law, and they were justified by faith through the law. The Gentiles were justified by faith without knowing the law. Now, once you're in this world of faith, what did Abraham start doing when he began to start believing?
Obey.
He just obeyed. He started listening and living by every word that comes out of the mouth of Yahweh, however you want to pronounce his name. And he's an extremely big example. And when he stumbled and he fell, guess what? He continued on, and he continued on, and he continued on. He didn't really waver in his faith. He just kind of collapsed a couple of times. We haven't gone through his life yet completely. But so you understand, in order to be able to be the curse of the law is existing, and the curse that's in the prophets is existing because we have not come to the point of love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy being, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You remember the Samaritan? Didn't even know who the guy was. Had no idea who it was. What did the Samaritan do? Paid for his medical bill? Paid for his hotel bill? Paid for his food, clothing, and shelter, and just ceased to exist. Didn't show up anymore. Yes.
Yeah, and he might not have been a very nice guy. It was well known you shouldn't have traveled between Jericho and Jerusalem. It was full of robbers. Don't go by yourself. He might have just been a jerk, but nevertheless.
But you know, it's just knowing that. That we have to be relieved of something. Now it says, you know, he says, how do we handle our people? I want to go to real quick. The spirit of your father will give you that power. You really do have the same source. When the father grants and gives his spirit to you, and I'm calling it the father's spirit, by the way, and it is holy. The spirit of the father is holy. It is a spirit that is holy. It's when he will give you that. When he gives you that, your mouth will be able to declare that song. Your mouth will be able to declare the glory of God. You can't do it without that spirit being connected and embodied inside of you. All right? How do we get it? I said before, when Jesus came to say, I will come to fulfill the law. I want you to look at it from a different point of view. Some of us in our growing up, we said, oh, he's going to carry out the first commandment, second commandment, third commandment, fourth commandment, fifth commandment, sixth, all the way to the tenth commandment. Then he's going to carry out all 316 of them, or 18 of them, whatever they are. I mean, that's our thinking sometimes of why. We're flesh and blood. We think down here on the earth. What did the old Lord say? Oh, my thoughts are not like mine. What's way up there? I'm thinking that way. You're thinking that way. It's not going to work. Now we are to live by those laws. How do you do that? Well, it takes the power of the Spirit of the Father
to give you that strength. If you try to do it on yourself, you will have a guaranteed failure. You've got to always rely upon Him, rely upon that Spirit of the Father in you, because He told His disciples, when you go before these kings, it will come into the hour you need it, and it's the Spirit of the Father that's going to speak in you. Let's continue on. Another area I want to go to, very, very important. I'm almost calling it quits here now. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You people have a tremendous amount of hope. All you got to do is use it. All I have to do is use it. All we have to do is use it. But sometimes we rely upon our own understanding, our own strength, and our own fortitude. He is our rock. He is our strength. And guess what? This way of life, I want you to read. I'll read it. Chapter 7, verse 12. Called the what? Golden rule. Right? Listen to what he said about the golden rule. And he says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the Torah and the prophets. This is the subject matter the Torah and the prophets is telling you. If you do not do the golden rule, you're going to face the Torah, the law. You're going to face the prophets, and they are going to testify against you. Jesus said that to the Pharisees. You have Moses, and he's going to testify against you. Wow. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Oh, where Abraham's seed? Moses is going to testify against you. But we are Jews. Moses is going to testify. I'm of Israelite. Moses is going to testify against you. I'm an Ephraimite. Moses is going to testify against you. I'm a Gentile. Moses is going to testify against you. Wow. Would you like to have him testify against you? Always like for him to testify for you. I hope you hope it's the latter. All right. I want you to go one more place. Read that part. Now he goes into this other part, chapter, verse 13. Now he says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate that is broad, and broad is the way that leads unto destruction. Oh, I'm going to say it leads unto the curse of the law. Now when Jesus came to fulfill the law, he's going to make an end to the curse. What does John 3:16 say that every Christian knows? That they will live. That's the function of the Messiah. The function of the Messiah is not to come out with a rod of iron and beat us to death. The function of the Messiah is to fulfill what the law said. And the law said, cursed are you if you do not fulfill and institute and establish all that is written in the Torah. And guess what? He came and he lived a perfect life to remove the curse. He's still in the process. So when he comes, even though he'll come as a thief in the night, if you understand what I'm saying now, comes as a thief in the night, he's coming in to give light to Hoshek. All right. Of course, then he says, beware of something else. Verse 15, beware of false prophets. Now I want to go to John chapter 5. This is my last scripture. John chapter 5. in verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. I want to read why I'm going to go here, because I want you to all understand something. A lot of people, which is not written in anywhere in the entire Tanakh, have said that the Torah is the tree of life. The Messiah said, no, it is not. Teaching will lead us somewhere. And the Apostle Paul tells us what the Torah will teach us, to lead us unto one thing, to lead us unto the Messiah. And this is what he said. Search the Scriptures. What do you do when you search the Tanakh? What is he telling us to do? For in them ye think ye have eternal life. No, you don't. It is they that are, both prophets and the law, which testify of me. So I'm very careful with my words. And I want you to be a little more careful with your words. Teaching involves the law that is just and holy and good. It also involves the cursing of the law. It also involves the blessings of the law. It also involves a lot of things. So I am careful not to say Yahshua is the Torah. No, Yahshua is in the Torah, and Yahshua speaks out of the Torah about him. And in the Torah, he said to Abraham, in you, they will be blessed, even though I'm going to curse them. And you have a lot of cursing from that point on. A lot of cursing. The book of Deuteronomy is full of a lot of cursings. And it's happening here to our own country. But, you know, keep one thing in mind. He didn't come to destroy mankind. He came to remove the curse. Then you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It all depends. That's where you're going. That's what it's about. And it takes a powerful spirit to reach that height. It cannot be done the way we think it can be done. And now the curse has been removed from you. Has it not? If you who are now believed. And don't be afraid. But no, this way is hard. Not in the worldly sense. You're going to have all of the people cursing you, speaking in what we would use, as it says there with Abram, disesteeming you, consider you less. Blessed be you. All right, and maybe you need to ask God, where Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use you, who speak evil against you. Wow. Jeff.
So in a sense then, that the curses are the sufferings of people for their lack of vision.
You're right. Okay. You had to have heard my other sermon on that one to get that picture. Yes. Daniel.
Well, going back to the earlier comment, you say, well, you know, it's always been said, in Jewish tradition, always has been, you know, the Torah is the tree of life.
Right.
Well, actually, the Torah teaches you what is good and what is evil. So, by definition, would that also mean it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil rather than the tree of life.
That's correct. The knowledge, we're going to get into the tree.
One of the two trees.
Next month, I'm going to talk about the tree of life. Next month. And the word is very, very strong on it. But also, I'm sorry, so many evangelists do not say disagree with me on this one. But also, the knowledge of good and evil is filled from the very beginning to the very end. Right? We'll talk about knowledge. Okay, but I'm not there yet. That's a different subject matter. I can work on it next month.